Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, August 1st. I cannot believe it is August. What a wonderful opportunity for us to look back over the last month and see the ways that the Lord has worked in our lives. We are continuing on in Romans chapter 7 today. An Illustration from Marriage is the first title, and then Struggles with Sin. I'll be reading from my old Bible, an NIV version. Starting in verse 1. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really is if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing an opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate to do I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I went back to a commentary called Romans for You by Tim Keller, and he talks about in this passage that it is both a warning and a comfort. Paul's words warn us that no one ever gets so advanced in the Christian life that they no longer see their sin. This is the Apostle Paul talking. If we ever perceive ourselves to be over sin, if we ever feel ourselves to be a pretty good Christian, we are deceived. He goes on to say, for the more mature and spiritually discerning we get, the more we see the sin in our hearts. And then secondly, we're being warned that no one gets so advanced that they don't struggle with sin. It's important to expect a fight with our sinful nature. And so he gives a question at the end that is helpful. Why is it liberating to be honest about your wretchedness and certain about your forgiveness? What happens if we forget one or the other? Here Paul says, what a wretched man I am. He is honest about his sinfulness and the fact that he hasn't fully overcome sin in his life. And he's also quite certain about something else, the thankfulness that we have to God, that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are now slaves to righteousness, and we have righteousness because of what he has done. And so Tim Keller encourages us not to forget that we are sinners and not to forget that we are saved by grace. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to read your word. We're thankful for the gospel of grace, for the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, Lord, we do not know what we face, but you know what we face. Lord, we have long list of people for whom we are praying. We lift them up to you and their hearts to you even now. We ask, Lord, your watch care over our friends and our families. We pray for salvation in the hearts and the lives of those whom we love, and maybe those whom we've had casual contact with in recent days, but we can't get them out of our minds. Lord, help us to be a witness to your love. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. We thank you for this church and the churches around the world. We ask, Lord, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.